Honey Massoud, Sharina Nadura, Tay Maria Studio, and Libby Rainey. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Gathering of the Guilds, Friday, April 26th through 28th at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. The Gathering of the Guilds showcases the talents of five Oregon artisan guilds: the Creative Metal Arts Guild, Oregon Glass Guild, Guild of Oregon Woodworkers, Portland Bead Society, and Portland Hand Weavers Guild. More than 150 artisans working in metals, glass, wood, beads, and fibers will be exhibiting their artistic creations, doing demonstrations, offering youth activities, and more during this three-day artisan show. Again, that's the Gathering of the Guilds, Friday, April 26th through 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 8th Annual Healing and Healthcare Blues Inner City Blues Festival on Saturday, April 27th from 5 to 11 p.m. at North Portland Eagles Lodge in Portland. The 8th Annual Inner City Blues Festival is a benefit for healthcare for all Oregon and features performances by the Norman Sylvester Review, the Richard Arnold Trio, the LaRonda Steele Band, and many more. KBOO will be broadcasting the festival on air. Again, that's the 8th Annual Inner City Blues Festival on Saturday, April 27th from 5 to 11 p.m. at the North Portland Eagles Lodge, 7611 North Exeter Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is roughly 8 o'clock, and more talk radio with Cecil and Celeste is up next.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO FM. This is More Talk Radio, and I am Cecil Prescott. And this is More Talk Radio. Today is April 22nd, Earth Day. And we're talking about the Earth and how do we save the Earth, and more importantly, what it is that we can do. Joining us this morning are the students who will share with us essays that they've written. They are recipients of the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility annual Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship Awards. And also with us is someone who's not a student, who's with PSR, who will introduce us to the program, Madison Arnold Sherbo. And joining us are Alicia Maxwell. Yeah. And joining us shortly will be Jack Hill, who is also a recipient. But Madison, who is with OPSR, and tell us, for those who do not know, what is Physician for Social Responsibility? What is it that you do? Are you all doctors?
Great question. Thank you so much for having us here. Like you said, my name is Madison, and I am a program assistant at Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. I am not a doctor, although folks sometimes ask us that. We do work with a lot of doctors, people in the health professional world, also in the public health world, and we're an organization that is guided by the expertise of medicine and public health, and we work to protect human life from the gravest threats to human health and survival, and we do that through our program areas, which are ending the nuclear threat, advancing environmental health, and protecting our climate and promoting peace.
Excellent. And the Greenfield Peace Peace Writing Scholarship, the origins, and how many students participate in it each year?
Of course. So the idea of a scholarship like this has been around for quite a while. It was sort of revamped about 10 years ago, and it is named for a person named Del Greenfield. Del Greenfield was her life consisted of making the world a better place in many ways. At the age of 67, she began a 16-year-long tenure as the executive director of Oregon PSR, and so this scholarship is a way to honor her legacy. And also, the main idea is to uplift the voices of young people as it pertains to peace and some of our other program areas. And this year in particular, we asked the students, how can you work against systemic racism to help make our world more healthy and peaceful? And we had a record-breaking over 225 entries this year. So it was quite an amazing.
Amazing. And that's from all over the state? Or?
It is, yep. Uh-huh. It is from all over Oregon.
Great. And from those 200, you had to narrow it down and select the winners. Could you say just a little bit about the people who review the essays?
Yes, certainly. So this year we had a panel of five different judges from different fields and different areas, and I'll quickly introduce those judges. Anissa Pemberton is a climate and social justice activist, writer, and artist, and they serve as the justice-based transition and equity organizer at 350 PDX. Robert Goldman is a physician, a general surgeon at the Portland VA Medical Center, and he is a member of Oregon PSR's Peace Working Group. Olivia is a Salvadorian writer and poet and the author of No One Remembered Your Name, But I Wrote It Down, which is a speculative memoir set in the afterlife. Dr. Shay Lott is a clinical psychologist at Oregon Health and Science University, and some of his interests include social and cultural factors that impact the development of various psychological and behavioral disorders in African descent populations. And Janaira Ramirez, the Oregon Just Transition Alliance organizer at Opal Environmental Oregon, Environmental Justice Oregon.
And this very great panel had to look over hundreds of essays. And what was the theme this year?
Yeah, so we had a lot of different entries from different poetry, narrative, different platforms. And they were all around this idea of how can you work against systemic racism to help make our world more healthy and peaceful.
Great. And joining us is Jack Hill. And Jack is a senior at Westfield High School.
Yes.
And so thank you for joining us, Jack.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Great. And Alicia?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Alicia Maxwell.
Is a junior at Park Rose High School.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I worked at Park Rose. I was a tutor there.
Great.
Yay, Park Rose.
So, Jack and Alicia, how did you hear about this essay contest? And I'm sure that you're inundated with lots of things and contests and essays and, you know, work and everything. So how did you find the time and what appealed to you to enter this contest?
So I'm a senior this year, and after the college application season kind of wrapped over, I kind of decided to get more into photography. And once I got more into it, I thought I might as well do some more scholarship that's kind of related to what I'm trying to photograph. I go around the city and I photograph the city of Portland to try to kind of record it before I go away to college. That's how I came into contact with the scholarship.
Excellent. And you, Alicia?
Basically, I got a email from my mom and this woman that works at my school named Miss Natonic, and basically she like helps people get scholarships, and I just clicked on the email and I thought it would relate to me, and I just wanted to apply for it and write an essay about it, and I just hope I won.
And you did.
Yes, indeed.
So that's a daunting topic.
you know, breaking down systemic racism, systemic anything is going to be daunting because it means it's within the whole system of whatever it is you're looking at. How did you approach this topic, Alicia, and then Jack?
What do you mean by that?
Well, when you thought of entering it, how did you think you would speak to it? What was it you wanted to say about breaking down systemic racism?
I just wanted to, like, I wanted to bring awareness to the situation. That's why I...
Awareness for people your age, awareness for the public at large?
Awareness for people my age, like teenagers, and older people too, just people that are different and different races, not just black, but every other kind of race too.
Okay. And you, Jack?
I kind of thought that a lot of my classmates were pretty apathetic about this, and maybe if I did something and they thought it was cool, they'll want to do something too. You know how high school is all run on social power.
Yes.
That's excellent.
True. That's true.
And so let's hear what you've written. Who would like to go first? And we can
jump into that.
Okay.
How do I have to get it?
So as Alicia is getting it, again, she's a junior at Park Rose High School, interested in playing basketball. When she's done with high school, she plans to go to a four-year college and then to medical school. So
got a full plate.
Yeah.
Okay. This is my essay. Imagine living a normal life and feeling the same as everyone else until realizing that you get treated differently because of who you are and the color of the skin you have. Then you start to feel different, like an outcast, like you don't belong. I mean, it's just a society. It's just how the society is right now, how it's always been. Racism hasn't ended. It's still here. Each decade, racism deforms in a way and the world improves better. But while that's happening, a new form of racism comes out the dust. For me, I'm a young black woman who has went through racism from time to time. Through on social media, the real world, school, and my own neighborhood I live in right now. Not since I'm older, how our neighbors feel and what they do don't pay me no mind anymore. A situation that really affected me was when I was playing basketball and my team was traveling away to another school in Oregon named St. Helens. My team and I already knew what they were about. I played for Park Rose High School, and every time we went to go to St. Helens High School, there's always a situation or problem happening every year. Not just with basketball, but with every other sport anyone could think of. Their school is known for being racist. We thought we would be able to just play basketball and not worry about anything bad happening this time. But we were wrong about that. Once the JV game started, people in the crowds were making monkey noises and being negative. Then once varsity played, if anyone did say anything, I really wouldn't have been able to hear them because I was sitting where my team was. But once the game was over, we were leaving to go to the bus, and I hear one of my teammates arguing with the fans. Then he starts to get loud. But I'm thinking I have to defend her. I can't just have her out here with no support. So I was having her back against the guy. Then we were told to get on the bus. So what I was told, the guy that was arguing with my teammate said some foul language about us right in front of my principal and the supervisor of his school. What was said was, "You're going to take these inward sides over us?" And that really made me feel some type of way, and my team too. I was really affected by what he said because, out of all things, why would he call us that? So me and my team wanted to spread awareness across the community in Oregon. First thing the school did was email the parents about it. Then we were interviewed by Fox News to tell our story. I wanted our story to be told. After this, we started to get threats and weren't able to play St. Helens a second time because someone said they were going to shoot up the school during the game. The athletic director just decided to cancel the game, but I didn't feel safe when I heard that there were threats. Some ways that I feel we could work against racism is peaceful protest, sharing stories to bring awareness to the situation, or people having a sit down and actually talking about what's going on in this world and bringing awareness to racism so people can understand it's a problem that needs a solution. Once more people know about it, there are more people trying to end it than just ignoring it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So before we go into Jax, as far as you're concerned, was the situation ever resolved?
The situation about my school?
No. About the encounter with St. Helens?
I don't really think it really was, solved, like, because they haven't really, when we tried to talk to them, they wouldn't answer nobody's calls, and I just feel like they didn't really care mm-hmm. about what really happened. The students, they did get punishment, but, like, I don't really think enough was really done to make a prevention about the situation, so it won't happen again.
Okay, thank you. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Willamette River Valley, and everywhere else is KBOO.FM. This is More Talk Radio. We're speaking here today with young people who have been the winners of the Physicians for Social Responsibility Essay Contest, this scholarship. And we have heard Alisa's both point of view and her essay on a real life moment. And now we're going to hear from Jack Hill, who is a student at Westview High School.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
I just want to say I really appreciate that story. Didn't think that kind of thing would happen, but unfortunately, that's where we're at. And here's my story. Spirited away. Brief chat at red light, about stirring story. Living a young life, yet squeezed between Old Town Philly and Financial District. Quits quips with ladies. Marcus runs before yellow blinking light. Makes safely over. Pants, hands overhead. We then chat briefly. Uniforms look on. Man has a mission. Not the black ops kind. One in real danger. Hands up, don't shoot. Black lives matter too. Colorful building. Beneath serene blue lies the palaces of my dreams, ready made for green yuppies. Apartment rent piles to $4,000 a month amid golden demands. Ain't never a silver lining playbook so rigged as Portland Metro's real estate market. Some graying heads shake with sad, sad, long, gloomy faces. Don't forget that brown folks, too, lived here once before. Gentrification, eh? The blackest urban hell. Visit to Detroit. Stumptown Manufacturing, the one that got away. Out it went in time. For dot-com burst, Intel death, ended here. Do you see the black girl smiling from eye to eye wearing that straw hat? That's Bobby. She's studying sociology at a community college after finishing private school on a scholarship. She's pretty great. My models are my friends. I told them I chose them because they were beautiful. I wasn't lying. They each possess a beauty that escapes the eyes of the indiscriminate beholder. The way I see it, by being young at heart, I always keep myself ready for the role of the artist. What exactly is the role of the artist, you ask? The role of the artist is to make the revolution irresistible. We live in a time today when everybody is seen by and converges towards so many different identities and parts of who we are, it cannot match up. In my life, personal experience and intersectionality is everything to me. Intersectionality and the ability to record them with my camera means everything to me, because particularly handy when we are dealing with death, with instances of racialized violence and structural discrimination, with times people are silenced and marginalized who do not have a voice. I take all of my experiences and the fact that I'm a person of color and I'm a young person who feels like he has something to say, who definitely have something to say. I take everything I have and try to convert it to pieces that will speak to a broader audience. Through visual arts, we can talk to people across space, time, language, and culture. We use color, we use imagery, we use snippets of emotions to convey messages and speak to people heart to heart. Through visuals, We can communicate in ways that no other mediums can. That is the role of the artist. The role of the artist, my role, is to communicate with those who can't speak or don't know the language of pop culture or politics. In America today, we can use visuals to connect with each other and create more understanding and divisive topics. I use who I am and what I can create to tell a story. I hope you will become part of the larger American story. The biggest question for you is, how are you going to use your story moving forward? Are you going to create a conversation? Are you going to make waves? Are you going to foster understanding? Are you going to cover out opportunities? I know I am.
Thank you. That was Jack Hill, senior at Westfield High School and a recipient of the Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship from the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. Jack, there was one line there about one third of the way through, and could you repeat it? Description of the artist. You said the role of the artist is to make the revolution
irresistible. Specifically, if no one brings up a certain issue after too long, we just all kind of forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep bringing it up, eventually people get fed up, and sometimes people decide to do something. If enough of these things get brought up, maybe they make it onto town hall meeting agendas. Maybe enough students get together and go to a senator's office and petition. If enough people do stuff like that, the revolution is going to happen sooner or later.
Right. Thank you.
That's an optimistic and well thought out strategy. I appreciate the fact that you're willing to have ongoing effort in pushing this forward, because it takes ongoing effort. You know, it's kind of like brushing your teeth. You don't do it once and never do it again, you know. But I appreciate that youthful enthusiasm and optimism.
Madison, with the Oregon Physician for Social Responsibility, we just heard two incredible pieces from these artists here. In your conversation with the panelists, how did they manage to read all of, well, I know they read all of them, but how did they were able to choose from essays such as these?
That's a great question. We did have a lot of really amazing entries this year. We had some sort of guidelines, almost a rubric to try to think through the different types of essays, because some of them are very different. And one of the big categories that the judges were struck by was ownership and sort of the level at which the students were able to express sort of their own personal feelings about racism. And more importantly, so there was a lot of thought went into the crafting of the prompt. It took many weeks, actually. And the one we finally landed on, as I've said before, is how can you work against systemic racism to help make our world more healthy and peaceful? So we were really hoping to hear stories about the past in some ways, but really looking forward, and particularly what you were just mentioning about the youthful optimism and mm-hmm. And thinking about ways that the younger generations really are working against it already, and thinking forward about what can you do as an individual and what is your role in making our world more healthy and peaceful through working against systemic racism.
Excellent. And for those who might be interested in seeing these students, the award ceremony is Friday?
Yes.
And
I would love to talk about that.
Yeah.
So our award ceremony is this Friday, April 26th, from 6 to 8 p.m. It's going to be at Celebration Tabernacle, which is at 8131 North Denver Avenue in Portland, in the Kenton neighborhood of North Portland. And it's free, open to the public. There'll be catering from Poshine's right next door. And it's a really amazing opportunity to hear from these two students. And there's also a third student, Amon Pierce, who was not able to join us today, but also wrote an amazing essay, and will be sharing their essay there. And I would also like to briefly mention our co-sponsors so far that have been helpful in this project for the award ceremony. First, KBOO Community Radio. Thank you so much. yes, to the folks here at KBOO. We're also co-sponsored by 350 PDX, the Peace and Social Concerns Committee of Multnomah Monthly Meeting of Friends, New Action, Women's Actions for New Directions, WAND, the Jublitz Family Foundation War Prevention Initiative, and another one, which is an acronym that I always forget, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and also endorsed by Right Around Portland and Sunrise PDX and Celebration Tabernacle. So these are just some of the many organizations that are help making this possible. And I also want to mention that we have a keynote speaker at this event as well. So the students are really the stars of the show. But we also brought in a man named Dr. Brian Gibbs, who is the Vice President of Equity and Inclusion at Oregon Health and Sciences University. And he will be speaking. He oversees the Center for Diversity and Inclusion at OHSU and is responsible for institutional diversity and inclusion initiatives, including the Unconscious Bias campus-wide initiative. So he'll be there speaking to this question about systemic racism, and especially I think about some of these connections between health and peace, which is sort of what Oregon PSR, our approach, thinking about the very concrete medical factors that systemic racism intersects with, and the ways that, you know, identifying what the current situation is and thinking about how we can push back to really make this a more just, inclusive, diverse, healthy world for all of us.
Thank you so much. And I certainly want to encourage our listeners to attend and participate at the Peace Writing Scholarship Awards ceremony this Friday at Celebration Tabernacle in North Portland.
And it's free and open to the public, so that should increase the chances of the community being involved.
Excellent. You know, I was just touched by the essays written by you, Jack, and Alicia, by your willingness to share yourself. And what was that like in terms of, one, writing about your experiences? And, you know, Alicia, you wrote about the experience of the basketball team. What was it, I mean, that's one thing to experience that. What was it like to write about it for you?
It was kind of, I don't know, some feelings were kind of brought up when I was writing about it, because I was kind of still feeling some type of way about the situation. But it was really easy because I had the information I needed to put on the essay.
Mm-hmm. Did you talk with any of your teammates before you wrote it about what you were doing, or how did that develop?
No, I didn't really talk to any of my teammates about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I told some of them, like my friends on the team. I didn't really talk to all of them. I just wrote it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. Did any of them have a chance to read it? Or?
I'm actually gonna. Yeah, some of them did, but I'm actually gonna have more people read it just if they wanted to.
Okay.
One of the things I appreciate coming out of both of your essays is the capturing and understanding the way racism works now as opposed to the past, and having a solid idea of what you can do to break it down. And I know that was part of the requirement for the essay, but the way you captured that it's still here, and this is what it looks like, and this is what we can do about it, was something I really appreciated. How do you feel that it changes, racism, systemic racism changes? How were you able to kind of nail it down in comparison to what you hear people talk about from the past?
That's a great question. I think as we move into the new century, like super, super obvious forms of racism, like the one Lisha described, mm-hmm. have gone down on the way low. But I think oppression always persists in areas where you can't find it. And then if you just go a little bit below the surface of like people calling other people the N-word, you can find a lot of inequalities that I think are sometimes more inhibiting than just straight out racism itself. Like they used to segregate the schools, right? But yes. Now if like the African American community is still by and large excluded from the most valuable educational resources because a greater portion of them can't afford something, say at like a private school or like a good public school, and that's like a huge disadvantage. And I feel like this kind of racism was the kind I was more interested towards because I did a research project a junior year about the different kind of educational outcome of the different Portland area high schools, about how like kids who were kind of similar in middle school going to different high schools and just take different trajectories in life.
Okay.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, being able to analyze that and see that trajectory, mm-hmm. and be able to forecast it, you know, because of that, and knowing what directions that students will be, which road they will be led down to. Mm-hmm. So that's very powerful. When you look around at the world today, and Jack, I understand you will be attending Oregon State, mm-hmm. Next year. And when you talk to your elders, your parents, or people like that, do you find yourself hopeful for where do we go in terms of how do we address systemic racism? What are your thoughts about the future?
My thoughts about the future is I hope that more young people like us spring up, because I feel like my parents' generation, after having gone through the motions for so long, they kind of just began to ignore the problem and develop a level of apathy. I think that's not good if you want to work towards some kind of progress. So I think we need more young people pumping fresh blood into the movement, because as we know, young people are usually more radical, and sometimes that level of radicalness is what you need for change.
Yeah. At least are you hopeful? Do you think that your generation can do things differently to address systemic racism?
Yeah, I agree with what Jack said. I just hope that the new generation makes more awareness of this and of racism to make more solutions and to solve the problem instead of just ignoring it and just not doing anything about it.
Excellent. We do want to remind our listeners that you can call in. The phone number to join us in the conversation with these wonderful young people is 503-231-8187. And if you've got any questions to ask them, if you want to congratulate them, whatever, join us in conversation here on More Talk Radio on your community connection, KBOO Portland.
Jack and Elisa, you're both of more than just writers, more than just students. I just saw like a really brief bio on each of you, and I was like, wow, amazing. And how do you find the time? So for example, Jack, you're a photographer.
Yes.
But you're an artist in many other ways. Mm-hmm. When did you become interested in photography, and why is it that something that attracts you?
That's a funny story. When I was back in middle school, my parents decided it was a good idea to get a camera to photograph my soccer games. Oh. I quickly realized their photography skill is kind of similar to my soccer skills. They're both non-existent. So the photographing soccer quickly went out the window. But okay. Then I realized I could take the camera and go out and take pictures. That's kind of how I got into photography. Mm-hmm. And like sophomore and junior year, I did a couple service projects around Portland, and I became really interested in photographing in Portland. That's how I became expressly interested in photography.
Ah, okay. Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. And Jack is being somewhat modest. I'm not sure about that athletic skill, but I'm told, I read that you're a varsity letterman in track and field.
Yes, hurdles.
Okay, great. Elisa, what about...
Well, playing basketball and writing songs and poems, and how do you find the time?
Basketball was kind of hard to play and do school at the same time. Like, it was kind of stressful, but I still did it, and I was committed to it, and basically I found time to do work and play basketball at the same time. It was stressful at times, but I just figured out a way to do it to make myself more successful in life.
Okay.
And writing poetry, and songs. Have you been doing that for a long time?
No, I just wanted to try it out. I don't know. I don't know how to really express myself, and I figured out a way too, which is like writing poems or songs or something, like to express how I feel at the time. Like, I could feel sad or like mad or just any type of emotion, and I just would just put it on words and paper or my notes in my phone, and I would just write the poem, maybe sing it out loud.
Great. Jack, you look like you wanted to say something.
Oh no, I was just
listening. Okay, great. Let me go back to Madison with PSR. I'm interested in terms of the organization. The Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship has been going on for many years, and themes differ from year to year. You mentioned a little bit about wanting the desire, the emphasis on systemic racism and the link towards health.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit. Why is that important, that link?
Definitely. Thank you. That's a great question. Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility really recognizes that the diversity, equity, inclusion, and social justice are all crucial parts of being healthy individuals and also communities and organizations as a whole. And one of the things that, so there's a lot of research about this, and I didn't bring any like specific studies with me. I'm not quite an expert, although Dr. Gibbs, our keynote speaker at the event, that's one of his areas of expertise, as is one of our judges, Dr. Shay Lott. So there's plenty of people here in Portland and throughout the country really studying this. But one of the things that I think is interesting is just the long-term structural, racial, and economic oppression, and how those are factors in the disproportionate impact of the health and the environmental ills on people of color and people living in poverty, and thinking about how those can fuel health epidemics and crises and contribute to negative health exposures and then outcomes. So thinking about things like cancer, cardiac diseases, those sort of things.
Diabetes, hypertension.
Yes, totally. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I'm interested in particular is thinking about environmental racism and how that also plays a part, and thinking about the areas of cities and sort of where things, for example, like fossil fuel infrastructure or just heavy industry, the areas of cities that those are chosen to go, or even things like highways and that sort of thing, of thinking about this idea, horrible idea of sacrifice zones, and that there are just people in the country who are not who get the short end of the stick, who really industry just believes they can, you know, put a pipeline through their yard or put an industrial complex in their backyard, and thinking,
or maybe even maintain an industrial area. We have some that have been in effect since I moved here. So 30 years of struggle for some of these areas, such as in North Portland, for example. Mm-hmm. And the challenge is if it's been here, it's not going to move, but they don't do anything to abate the problem, to make it easier for people to be healthy in those areas.
Totally. Yeah, and that's something I've been learning a little bit about, of thinking about the river, and how there's parts of it that are a Superfund site.
Yes.
And just, you know, still after, you're right, yeah, so many years, and just the, you know, whose role is it to clean it up? And, you know, there's all of these sort of interconnected, and who relies on that river or rivers in general for food or for water sources. And yeah, there's a lot of interconnections. You know, I think of two of our pillars of work at Oregon PSR are peace and the environment, and thinking about the climate. And they're really all interspersed. You know, as we talk about climate change, we need to think about just transitions and making sure that the benefits are going to everyone, and, you know, not just thinking they're going to magically not follow the lines of our racist structures in our country.
And you are thank you, Madison. And you are listening to KBOO More Talk Radio. We're speaking with Jack and Elisa, students and recipients of the Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarships. They will receive their awards this Friday at Celebration Tabernacle, 8131 North Denver Avenue, at 6 p.m. is free and open to the public, so please attend. And we would like you to call in and talk with our guests, 503-231-8187. Oh, no, I was stopping because I guess that was the right number, right?
Yeah, that was right number. I was right there with you.
Okay. We're going to let our guests put on their headphones, and then we'll take a call from our first call. Ali.
Thank you. Hi.
Good morning.
This is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Great. So I'm Kelly Campbell. I'm actually the executive director at Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. And I just wanted to call in to congratulate the students. I'm really excited to meet them on Friday. And to really encourage people to come out, even if you're not connected at all to Physicians for Social Responsibility, if this is an issue that you think is important, if this is an issue that you want to hear more from young people on, don't be shy. Come on out on Friday to the event. It really is a community event, and it's really wonderful to have as many folks there as want to be there to get to hear from these students and from Dr. Gibbs, and to participate in this conversation, because it really is a conversation we all need to be having in our community. And also just want to thank you, Cecil and Celeste, for having the student winners on for the past, I don't know how many years, on your show, and giving them this platform to get their ideas out more broadly into the community. And for the students, I just wanted to ask if you could talk a little bit more about your future plans and how you might be incorporating some of the ideas that were in your essays into what you plan to do down the road with your life.
Well, before they answer, Kelly, years ago, I had the privilege and the challenge of running an Department of Justice program, and we funded the Josiah Hill Clinic.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you would share some of the various things that Physicians for Social Responsibility does, so people can see where you are in the community and how you are in the community.
Sure, absolutely. And when you mentioned the Josiah Hill Clinic, that was a project that Oregon PSR was actually the fiscal sponsor of, to get that up and running. And Josiah Hill served on our board for many years, and that was a you may know more about it, Celeste. It's a little before my time, but it was in Northeast Portland, and it was a lead screening clinic that primarily served African-American families and African-American youth. who are living in older homes with a lot of lead paint. And so really that was, you know, doing environmental justice work before we really called it that back in the 90s. So Oregon PSR, you know, our work has evolved over the years. We started, as all the PSR chapters did, with physicians and other health professionals concerned about nuclear weapons and nuclear war as a health issue, recognizing that health professionals can't cure a nuclear war after it's happened. You have to prevent it from happening to save lives and protect health. And the organization here really also focused in the beginning and still does on the Hanford Nuclear Reservation, which is upriver from us on the Columbia River, the most toxic cleanup site in the Western Hemisphere, where the plutonium for the bombing of Nagasaki was developed. So from there, we've really taken a broader view of health and the environment. And as Maddie's been talking about, looking at climate change as a health issue, environmental justice as a health issue, and peace and war in general as a health issue. So we take a really broad view, looking at, you know, peace from gun violence and racism and that kind of thing, all the way to nuclear war as part of the same spectrum of reliance on violence in our society, and how we can mitigate that and really bring about the revolution that Jack's talking about, doing our part in that. So yeah, we're involved in a lot of community efforts. Right now we're working on a statewide resolution in the Oregon legislature that would support the nuclear ban treaty and support legislation to keep us safe from nuclear weapons. We're also working on diesel legislation to clean up the dirty air that we have, particularly in the Portland region and other areas in Oregon, because we don't have as strict of diesel regulations as they do in California, and we're getting these dirty diesel trucks dumped on us here, which again becomes an environmental justice issue because it's the folks who are living closer to the freeways who tend to be breathing that air. So we got a lot going on. If you want to come out Friday night, you'll hear a little bit more about Oregon PSR's work, but we're mainly, as Maddie has said, we're mainly focusing on the students Friday night and what they have to say, and really lifting up and celebrating the work that these incredible young people are already doing in our communities.
Well, great. Thank you. And we'll let the young folks answer your question again, and ask it again just in case they've forgotten it.
Well, I'm sure, not sure I remember it, but I was asking more about their plans for the future and how they see incorporating some of the ideas that they've talked about into the work that they plan to do down the road.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. This is Jack speaking. I was hoping to go to OSU and study business. And then when I graduate, I was hoping to work with nonprofits that help develop digitally deliverable education. What that basically means is it's kind of like, it will be like Khan Academy and Crash Course. It will be digitally accessible content for educational purposes, but it will be more comprehensive and hopefully more helpful than the ones we have now. I was thinking about incorporating some elements of artificial intelligence to help you direct you towards the right answers, and then have the kind of online discussion forums you'll see for YouTube, but then you'll be centered around the problem set. So that kind of stuff. So hopefully that everywhere where you have Wi-Fi access, you can have access to these educational materials.
Yeah. Thank you. And Lisa.
This is Alicia, and when I graduate, I want to go to a 4-year college, and then after that I want to go to medical school so I can become a physician assistant. And basically, I just want to do that to, like, help people and save lives. And while I'm doing that, I'll still try to bring awareness to the situation and racism all over.
Well, you know, one of the ways you can address racism is just by bringing health care to some of the poorer areas. We have a lot of third world conditions here in the United States. You don't have to travel far. You can go to places like Florida or Appalachia. Many of our indigenous people reservations, inner cities, and find that there's inadequate and inequitable health care. So I wish you both tremendous success in going out and planting these seeds and seeing what kind of wonderful fruit you're going to bear for the future.
So let me just flip it a little bit in terms of this essay in this contest. So you finally saw this and say, okay, here's another essay I have to write, blah, blah, blah. And you write it. Did you think anything about it afterwards? What was your reaction when you heard that you could possibly win it, or when you heard that you won the award?
My reaction, I saw the email and I was just like, oh my God, my friend was next to me and I was just so happy because like, it's my second scholarship that I've won throughout my whole life. But I was just happy about it because that I was chosen for something great and that they chose me to win the scholarship and talk about awareness about racism.
Thank you. And you, Jack?
Absolutely. I share her feelings. This is the first scholarship I've ever won, actually. I didn't think I was going to win because, well, you don't expect to win scholarships, right? So I was really happy when I got the email and the text. I just got home from soccer practice. And
I'm glad you're sticking with it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm really happy to win the scholarship. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Wow, that's great. And I'm sure it'll be the first or second or more to come. So
hopefully.
Yeah, very, mm-hmm. very, very much so. It's probably, Jack, how old are you?
I'm 18.
You're 18. Okay, so do you have any wisdom to share for those who are thinking about elections and voting, and what should people be looking at?
Use Google and don't just go into the first website, like look through it uh-huh. and try to get views from a couple of different websites and then cast your vote.
Okay. Alicia, are you thinking about politics or what's on the political scenes? What's your advice for us who's trying to make sense of all of this?
I would say if you're thinking of voting for someone, like electing, I would look online about that person or who's in the election, and then I would say whichever person relates to you and whichever one you feel will help you out in this world, because obviously the person who you pick is the person who is in control of mostly a lot of things, and that can actually help you or make things worse for you in your life. So I would say make sure if you're voting, make sure you pick the right person that you feel is relating to you and that can help you in your life.
Off topic again, I'm sorry, yeah. but recently there's been some discussion about lowering the voting age to 16. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about that.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea because I wanted to vote because a lot of people, I heard that a lot of people in the election in 2016, I think, a lot of people didn't vote because they didn't like either candidate in it. And I feel like young people should be able to have a voice in this type of stuff and should be able to vote because obviously they should be heard too. Because I at least wanted the chance to vote mm-hmm. like for this year and stuff. But luckily, once the next election come, I will be able to.
Okay. And Jack?
Definitely. I feel like if the driving age is 16, you get to drive a 5,000-pound vehicle on the road, you ought to be able to vote.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I support the whole idea of younger people driving now. I may want some conditions with that, but not just because of being able to drive, but because we are requiring more from our young people at an earlier age nowadays. And I think listening to your essays, you being a senior, Jack, and you a junior, Alyssa, it seems that you put a lot of thought into your daily life. You don't just cruise through on autopilot, that you actually sit down and think about the issues around you, the consequences of your actions, and all the kind of things that we adults say are important. So I'm supportive of that, of lowering the voting age based not just on YouTube, but, you know, because of people like YouTube.
And I also want to, again, for those who are listening or just turned on, we are speaking with Jack and Alicia. Oh my gosh, I forgot your names that quickly. Jack?
Hill.
And Alicia?
Maxwell.
Right. These brilliant thinkers who are the recipients of the Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarships, and they will receive their awards this Friday at the Celebration Tabernacle.
In front of the community.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And are you going to read your essays?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Good. Okay. So this is like good practice for you, you know, small.
Definitely.
Small group as opposed to, you know, dozens of people, but no.
Don't scare
me. Okay, no, it'll be good. So that's at Celebration Tabernacle, 8131 North Denver Avenue, Portland, this Friday at 6 p.m. For information, Madison, contact PSR? Oh, the website. Oh, well, okay. Okay, yes, and the website will be working. OregonPSR.org.
And we also have
a Facebook page.
Yep, I was going to say, yep, okay. We have a Facebook event, Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. You can check us out on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, we thank you for coming on, sharing your insight, and revitalizing us, really, you know. Like waves on the ocean or the sea, you know, young people's attitudes help refresh the body of us. And so I'm really thankful for having you come on. Thank you for bringing them. And go forth and prosper.
Thank you.
And you have school? So you have school now?
Yes, I have school.
Alicia? Okay, yeah. Okay. And hey, thank you all so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
And you have been listening to More Talk Radio with Celeste and Cecil.
Yes, and coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 o'clock, the Old Mo Variety Hour burrows down into the roots of the great issues of our time. Locus Focus at 10, Barbara Bernstein gets an update on the Clean Energy Jobs Bill for Earth Day. On Between the Covers at 11, Ken Jones talks to author Liz Scott about her upcoming Powell's appearance and latest book, This Never Happened. Voices for the Animal host Deb Stedman talks with Dr. Lori Maker at 11:30. And Dr. Lori Maker is the founder and executive director of the Cheetah Conservation Fund, a nonprofit organization dedicated to saving wild cheetahs and their habitats. All of this and more. These programs are made possible, you know this, by KBOO member support. If you need to become a member, and you do, go to kboo.fm. That's KBOO.fm. Click on donate and become a member at a rate that is comfortable and doable for you. We will appreciate it and you will see returns. This has been More Talk Radio on your community Connection KBOO Portland, and we'll hear you next week.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Tune in to KBOO on Wednesday, April 24th at 6 p.m. for The Underground, hosted by the KBOO Youth Collective. Our theme this month is apocalypse.
We'll have stories about personal apocalypse, tragic environmental accidents, radio plays, and other interpretations of the apocalypse.
Again, that's The Underground, Wednesday, April 24th at 6 p.m. here on our community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Thank you so much for supporting KBOO during our recent spring membership drive.
Thank you.
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 We're really appreciative for all that you do to support your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Thanks.
Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. Coming right up, Old Mall Variety Hour. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Portland Underground Graduate School, a local, independent learning community offering courses and workshops for continuing lifelong learning. Course options and more information online at pugspdx.com.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Yes, I wish I was a mole in the ground.